I was going to preach something, and I've been struggling all day. Brother John called me at the last minute last night. As you can hear, my voice is shot. I've been up in New York at Brother Samson's preaching for him. And so Monday, there's nothing up there, by the way. It's a great church. Brother Samson loves his people, and it's really a great little church that he pastors. If you get a chance to go up there ever, go up and check it out. But I'm warning you that in Messina, New York, it is the end of nowhere. We had to literally go out of the country to get something to eat. You laugh. But Monday, family in his church and I decided we wanted something good to eat, and we actually had to go into Canada to find some good food. There's a McDonald's, there's a Wendy's, there's a Tim Hortons, and there is an Italian wannabe place there in Messina, and that's really all there is to eat. Believe it or not, yes, you got to take what you can get. So I've been back and forth all day battling what to preach tonight, and I had the message. Matter of fact, it's loaded up, ready to go. And I've been sitting here, and I've been listening to prayer requests, and the Lord just started stirring on my heart. I don't know what's about to come out of my mouth, but he keeps directing me back to this passage. So we're going to look at it for just a few minutes. God help me. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just going to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Galatians 5, verse number 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now let me say this, Christ has given us liberty. We have liberty to live for Christ after we get saved. You know, before we got saved, we didn't have liberty to live for Christ. We didn't have Christ living in us. After we get saved, we have complete liberty to live for Christ. Now let me say this, we still have the freedom. There's a difference between liberty and freedom. We still have the freedom to do what's wrong. We still have the freedom to mess up. We still have the freedom to sin. But you know what? Freedom is something you just have. Liberty is something you're granted. And God granted us liberty to live sinless. Do you believe that? Now, he knows we're humans and we're not going to, and that's why he built in provisions for us to confess our sins, to stay in fellowship, and I'm so glad he did. And I'm glad he doesn't hold our sin against us. We get it right, and we keep living for God, and we're not going to face that stuff at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm glad for that. Amen. But we have liberty to live clean. We have liberty to live pure, and we have liberty to live right for the Lord. Amen? Amen. You believe that? Amen. Then why don't we do it? Good. "Behold, I, Paul," verse number 2, "say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Say, what you mean? If you want to live by the law, then you're responsible for the whole thing. Can I just say that includes the animal sacrifices? Sure it does. Because if you're living by the law, you're not trusting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to go full Jew if you want to live by the law. "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Now that's an interesting passage, isn't it? That's an interesting thing for Paul to say there, that if you want to live by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now, some people say, well, you see, that means you can lose your salvation. No, that's not what it means. It means that if you're going to live by the law, you can't claim grace. It's going to be all or nothing. You ever notice how some of these Pharisees that want to put the law up and want to hold you to these high standards, you ever notice they have no grace?
Yeah.
It's because they're not exercising the grace of God. The Bible says they're falling from grace. We're going to get back to that in just a minute. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Can I say that Mrs. Lorna Sarah is seeing that righteousness right now? She's there. She got her hope, the hope that she's been waiting for. She's there. She's seeing it. That y'all were singing, "What a Day That Will Be." I was in the office studying a completely different message just a few minutes ago, and God was ministering to my heart as you were singing about heaven. And I was worshiping the Lord in there, thinking, because I remember when those folks got saved. I remember when they walked into First Bible Baptist Church. I was 9 years old. They'd come in. They were about to split up. He'd been a drug addict. He'd played Hammond organ in a rock group. Opened up for some big names. And God gloriously saved them.
Amen.
And they lived for God, and they went to the mission field. And the Lord took her to meet her reward. Boy, what a thing. I'm glad heaven's real.
Amen.
Let's keep going. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Say, what's that mean? Circumcision represents the Jews. Uncircumcision represents the Gentiles. And he's saying in Christ, it don't matter if you're Jew or you're Gentile, salvation comes the same way. Now, this replacement theology business that some of these YouTube sensations like Stephen L. Anderson and them's teaching are saying that the inheritance of the Jew goes to the Christian. But according to this passage, it doesn't, because the Lord still delineates between the two. And in this dispensation, right here and now, whether you're Jew or you're Gentile, it means nothing. You got to be saved the same way, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then you're added unto the church.
Yeah, amen. Yep.
The Jews had no clue about the church.
Amen.
But faith, which worketh by love. Here's the verse I wanted to get to. It says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, it doesn't come from Jesus Christ. Your hindrances don't come from Jesus Christ. Now watch this verse. And I thought about this earlier as I was reading this. It's kind of peculiar that he puts this little statement right here in verse number 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I started asking the Lord, why'd you put that there? What's that mean? Why is that random statement stuck right there? I'm going to go back to verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Can I say this? So many Christians today allow people to hinder them. Some of you in this room have been used as a tool of Satan to hinder others. If we're going to be honest, you that think you're spiritual or trying to be spiritual, this includes myself. I don't want to be carnal. I want to be spiritual.
Amen.
I realize I can't do that on my own, but the Lord can make me spiritual.
Yeah.
But if we'll be honest, we've all hindered someone.
Amen.
We've all thrown a stumbling block up for someone. And the verse here says, ye did run well. who did hinder you? Now listen, we're very good at preaching it like this. Ye did run well. What did hinder you? And then we proceed to preach on television and music and your dresses and your dress standards or lack thereof and your movies and your television and all those things. And some of those things do hinder you. But can I say this? The verse here didn't say what did hinder you. It said who did hinder you. Now let me ask a question here. We go back to verse number one, okay? Verse number one, it says this, stand fast, or wherefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. Can I say the ones that hinder you put you under this yoke of bondage? Now, who is it that's hindering you? Are you letting your friends hinder you? You letting your friends hinder you? Listen, I realize that a lot of your friends are probably in church, but I'm going to say this. Just because your friends are out doing something that's not of God, it does not give you liberty to do it with them. Amen. Let me tell you why. Because you don't answer for your friends. When Josh was out, me and Josh were living in the same house. When Josh was out and he was going to bars and he was drinking and he was getting arrested and all that kind of stuff, and suppose I wanted to take a drink, when I stand before God, I can't say, well, God, Josh did it, so I thought it'd be okay. Many of you compare yourselves with each other. You compare yourselves with each other. The Bible says that it's not wise. Listen, if you want to compare yourself to someone, set the bar high and compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Brother Jay Watson was just talking. We were just talking last Wednesday on the way home from church. And we were talking about, I think it's Philippians, where it talks about how we all run this race, but only one gets a prize. And he said this, he said, is it possible that only one Christian can come in first? Yeah. And I thought about it all evening. I mean, it bothered me, Ken. It's one of those things. I love discussing the Bible with my friends. You know why? Because sometimes we come out with way off the wall theories or something like that that makes sense for a minute, but then when you go thinking about it and you get running scripture in your head and it bothers you, it's like a puzzle that you got to figure out. I like it. Now, I'm not saying you ought to follow a guru or anything like that. I'm saying this. God's given you a book that you can check everything out by. You know what I appreciate about where I went to school? That old man used to tell us, don't trust me. He said, trust that book. He said, the book's right, I'm wrong. That's what he told us. You know, there's not many Bible colleges out there that tell you not, that the teachers tell you not to trust them. And listen, to his credit, I've been in class when a student raised their hand and corrected this old man who's been through the Bible 200 times. Any of you boys and that went to PBI ever been there when a student corrected the doc? Yeah. You know what the doc did? He ran the reference. He said, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, brother. He said, I was wrong. Say, why is that? Because Ruckman wasn't my final authority. Amen. That book was. Yep. Some of y'all make your friends your final authority on all matters of faith and practice. But getting back here to this thing about only one wins the prize, I got thinking about it. I said, who would win the prize? And then I got thinking about this. I said, you know what? If a man won the prize, then what would happen at the judgment seat was the Lord saying, this guy wins Christian of the two millennia of the church age. Church hero.
Yeah.
Ken Dudley. It'd be nice. You'd have bragging rights, wouldn't you? But then bragging would be a sin, so you'd lose the prize. I got thinking about this. The only one who could win the prize is Christ.
Amen.
Say, why is that? Because he is the ultimate Christian. We are called Christians because of Christ. He's the one that won. And we just get to share. That's why Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Say, what's that mean? He got the prize, but we get to display it in our trophy case.
Amen.
Because we're heirs with him.
Yep.
Now, who hindered you comparing yourself with each other? Was it your friends? Can I say this? There's plenty of family that will hinder you.
Amen.
Say, what do you mean by that? I know people in this very room who've had to break fellowship with brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. You talk to Miss Linda and she'll tell you there was a day when she had to break fellowship with her own mother because she was so worldly and she didn't want her mother around her children. Say, but family's everything to me. Really? Then don't sing that song, Jesus is all the world to me.
Amen.
You sing, mommy is all the world to me, or daddy's all the world to me, or my brother is all the world to me. Because you put something before God, and you are running the race well until you let someone else hinder you. Now, I got another group. Your friends may hinder you. Your family may hinder you. But I got another group that's certainly able to hinder you. And that's what this whole book is about. The whole book is about a few Pharisees that crept into this church at Galatia and started teaching these people that it was grace plus law. In other words, yeah, it might have been grace that saved you, but you can't stay saved without keeping the law. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You can't eat a bacon sandwich. You can't eat shrimp. You've got to have a beard that's squared off on the corners. You've got to do all these Levitical things because Jesus Christ's blood was not enough. You know, we got some of that in our churches. I've heard it said in this church, if you don't do insert pet hobby here, you're not right with God. Did you know that there are people that smoke cigarettes that can be right with God? Now, let me say this. I couldn't smoke cigarettes and be right with God. I couldn't do it. But there are people that can. Say, why is that? Because they haven't grown enough to know better. And if I'm going to preach against cigarettes, I may as well preach against fast food, because the same go-to verse that we use to prove that you can't smoke cigarettes is the same go-to verse that really we should be using to say we shouldn't eat chemical-laden fast foods. We should eat clean. Yeah, amen. Dinner at Tiffany's tomorrow, everybody. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we're having chicken. Just not from McDonald's. Real chicken nuggets. Grilled. Got to have grilled. In olive oil. Anyway, back to what I was saying. It's wrong when the Lord convicts you. It's wrong. Say, what do you mean by that? I know of people that the brethren told to do stuff. And I've been guilty of this myself. People would get right with God immediately We'd tell them to get rid of their old lifestyle, get rid of their old music, get rid of their old clothes, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of the other thing. And we showed them that physical change needed to happen before spiritual change happened. See, what happened? The storms of life came. And when the storms of life rocked them, because we didn't encourage them to find a relationship with Christ, because we gave them all the do's and don'ts before we pointed them to Him, they went right back to the things they were doing. Say, what are you saying? Are you saying that those things are, you don't have to worry about that stuff? I didn't say that, lest you think that what I'm saying tonight is liberty for you to pick up your old habits. I'm saying this: when the Lord tells you to get rid of something, whether it's okay for someone else or not, then you get rid of it.
Amen.
And when you get rid of it, don't start trying to tell everybody else that because you found victory by getting rid of it, that they need to get rid of it too. I want to use Samson for an illustration. He's not here, but he'll testify to this. We've laughed about this before. The Lord told him to get rid of his TV. Told him to cut the cable. Told him to pull the plug, told him to get rid of the TV set, take it out of the house. Because when he came home from work, he spent 6-7 hours a night watching TV and didn't read his Bible and didn't pray, and he just became a zombie to the television. You remember him telling us that? But then here's what he started doing. He started going over people in the church's house that had televisions and looking at them with a condemning spirit and saying, "Brother, you need to get rid of that television. It's just full of hell. It's just going to distract you from your Christian life." Hey, listen, I believe it will. But the Lord told him specifically to do that. And I'm not saying that that's what everybody's vice is. That's what his was. But people allowed his Pharisaical attitude to hinder them. Notice I said they allowed it to hinder them. Because it doesn't have to. Listen, I came to a point in my Christianity where I realized that I'm accountable, number one, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of if someone's preaching up here and rubs me the wrong way or something else and it has nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with Christ, or even if it doesn't, it's just someone's personal conviction. That if I let it hinder me, then I'm the one that's wrong, not them. Say, why is that? Because they're just trying to do what God told them to do. They're trying to exercise their faith. They may not be exercising it right. They may be a Pharisee, but at least they're trying.
Amen.
And you're sucking your thumb and letting the fact that they're trying hinder you. Paul's saying here, you used to run well. Who hindered you? Not what, not the thing, but the person. In other words, who'd you let get in your way? Who'd you let get in your way? You used to serve God real good. Who'd you let get in your way? What, was it your friends? Was it your little boyfriend or your little girlfriend? Maybe it was your husband, or maybe it was your wife. You ladies that are serving God with your husbands, I praise the Lord for it. But what if tomorrow your husband decided he was going to get out? Would you stay in, or would you follow him out? Same could be said for you men. Would you have a backbone to stand? Or would you let her hinder you? What about some of these young guys that get up here and preach, and they just preach their personal stuff, and it can, and it's not even Bible convictions. It's personal convictions between them and God, and you get mad. First of all, can I say this? If you get mad, maybe you should ask God if it's mad that you're getting, or if it's that conviction that you're under. So how'd you learn that? The hard way. The hard way. Man, I used to hear preachers preach dumb stuff. I hear preachers preach dumb stuff here sometimes. Now, not our preacher. He acts dumb sometimes behind the pulpit, but it's to prove a point. Amen. But I've heard guys preach really, really dumb stuff. And I'm on the road, and I hear guys preach dumb stuff. I heard a preacher preach one time that it's okay to beat your wife. Yeah. I heard that. Well, no, probably what really was happening was she was beating him. But I'm serious. I've heard that stuff. When you're in evangelism and you travel all over, you hear all kinds of weird stuff. And if I wanted to let the Pharisees hinder me, trust me, I'd get out. If I wanted to let the little independent, fundamental, premillennial, judgmental Baptists hinder me, I'd get out. But there's something so much better. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's the grace of God. It's so much better. And by the way, if you hold people to the law, if you try to hold people to the law, can I just say this? James chapter 2 says, whosoever keepeth the law and offends in one point is guilty of all. You can't keep the law. You can't even try to keep the law. The Jews had to keep the law in order to go to paradise, in order to get a ticket to Abraham's bosom when they died. And they fell short. And God, by his grace, still let them go anyway. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come. And that's why he had to die. Because there had to be a final sacrifice for all of us pathetic people who can't keep God's holy law. Aren't you glad he made a way? Remember the verse that I said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. Now there's your word. Do you know if you love the brethren, you won't let them hinder you? Yep. They say something you don't like that rubs you the wrong way. Maybe you'll go home and pray for them. Yeah. Or maybe you'll go home and ask the Lord, Lord, what they said from the pulpit rubbed me wrong. Brother Mark preached against Facebook when he was here during revival, and I got mad. Why did I get mad, Lord? Is that my God? Am I putting that thing before you? I don't get mad when preachers preach against stuff that I'm not having a problem with. Yeah. I get mad when I'm trying to fight with the Holy Ghost over conviction, when there's something in my life that I need to get rid of that I don't want to get rid of. Yeah. That's when I get mad. Yeah. You did run well. Who did hinder you? And now to this verse, now to this great little verse that I said I didn't quite understand why it was here. Verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Do you realize that if you get hindered and you stick around in church and you keep running your mouth, you're going to affect everybody. If you let something in this place hinder you, or you let your friends hinder you, and you get hindered, and you get quote-unquote liberty, but it's not liberty at all. It's just freedom because you want to live carnal, yeah. And you start running your mouth, eventually you're going to affect all of us. Yeah. Yeah. Eventually you're going to affect the unity of this church. Yeah. Eventually, we're going to come here, and we're not going to see people getting right with the Lord anymore, and we're not going to feel conviction because the Holy Ghost won't be pleased to move here because you've hindered him. Ultimately, You may have people that hinders you, but you know who's going to give an account for the hindrance? Not them. You.
Amen.
You let people hinder you, you'll give account. You'll give account. You stand before the Lord and the Lord says to you, Josh, I called you to be a help to your dad's church. And you left. Why'd you leave? And now just suppose, and I don't believe it's going to happen like this. I believe when we're in heaven and we're before a holy God, we're going to start spewing out confessions left and right. But just suppose for a minute Josh said, I saw Ken Dudley, and he was at his house, and he was bad-mouthing people, and so I just got discouraged, and I left. You know what the Lord's not going to do? He's not going to call Ken up there and say, Ken, is that true? Were you bad-mouthing? Is it your fault that Josh left? That's not what God would do. Josh, it's your fault. Because you let somebody less spiritual hinder you. Now, I want to ask you this question tonight in closing. I know my thoughts have been just a little bit disjointed. Like I said, I had a great outline. It was alliterated and everything. It was a totally different message. And the Lord wouldn't let me rest until I gave you this thought. So I had to listen to him. But I'm going to ask you this tonight. Why are you hindered? Why aren't you serving God the way he wants you to serve him? Who's distracting you? Two things. It's Wednesday night. We don't usually give an invitation on Wednesday nights, and I don't feel inclined to give an invitation tonight. But I want us to go home, all of us, and I want us to think on this thought, who is it that we've let hinder us? And maybe you're not hindered, and I praise God. I believe this. I've gotten right with the Lord today. I don't believe I'm hindered right now. But maybe somebody in this room is, and maybe you're allowing someone else to hinder you. Can I say this? Two things. You need to get right with the Lord about who you're allowing to hinder you. And number two, you need to stop blaming them and start praying for them. Because there's a great chance that if they're hindering you, someone else is hindering them. And they need victory in their life, just like you need victory in yours. I love this church. I love everybody in this room. Not everybody in this room and I get together every day and hang out and all that stuff. But I love everybody here. I want to see this church go on home to heaven and have crowns. Crowns that we can share. Victories that we can share. I don't want to be one of them typical Laodicean churches that the Lord just says, we're just a bunch of liberal compromisers. But we can't be that unless we stop letting people, good people, some bad people, people in general, hinder us. Because in the long run, we're the blame, not them. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll close in prayer tonight.